today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find shows and transcripts on our website, fair.org. The show is engineered by Erica Rosato. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
What's good, everybody? We're having some major technical difficulties in here, which is super sweet, especially when we're shorthanded. So we're trying to figure that out for you guys. We can't hear anything. Nothing is playing through the board. Even though it all just queued just fine. This is about as professional as it gets. talking about practice is on the way, hopefully. We're working on it, so, you know, hang out for a bit. In the meantime, in between time, we'll get you something to listen to or something. I don't know. Like I said, we're figuring it out. We have some major technical issues in the studio, which is always a strong place to start. It's great when you can't hear anything. It makes it real helpful. So, you know. We'll figure it out. In the meantime, maybe you could check this out and it'll make everything all right. You know what I mean? Just hang out. We'll get there.
Power.
Yes, indeed. We are back, kind of. Two fifths of the group in here. Missing some key players. But hey, next man up. You know what I mean, John?
Exactly what I was thinking. No, I can't even hear excuses. What you're saying, but I'm just... Luckily, I'm sitting across from you.
So as if we weren't playing shorthanded enough, we also... We can't hear through the headphones at all. So this is going to be a bleep show, which is kind of what we expected coming into the show.
Yeah, fair enough.
If we're being honest with each other.
I'm still dedicated with my headphones in just in case something happens.
Just in case it works, on, yeah. Well, we'll see. In the meantime, we do want to thank you for spending wasting an hour of your evening, I should say, with the nonsense it is we do around here. Each and every Monday, we, from the bottom of our hearts, we appreciate y'all. We appreciate the support. Week in, week out, you guys tune in, no matter if we have all five of us in here and a guest, if we just have John and I, no matter what, you guys keep showing up and showing love, and we really, really appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. We also appreciate the people that help keep the lights on around here, such as North Rim Adventure Sports, offering bicycle sales and rentals, cycling apparel and equipment, and a bicycle service shop. North Rim Adventure Sports features Trek Bicycles USA and other brands at 178 East 2nd Street in downtown Chico and at northrimadventure.com. Like I mentioned, people, playing a little shorthanded, but that doesn't stop us. Next man up. We're still going to have a great show. We're going to have a lot of fun. So once again, kick back, relax. We appreciate you joining us. So with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the show.
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Good to be back with you guys. Like I mentioned, we have a lot to get into. Even though we are playing shorthanded. My name is Dro. I got my man, the lanky legend, the long snapper himself, Mr. John Thomas Lukin.
Wow, you threw the Thomas in there. I like that, man. Puts a little nice little silver lining on the lanky legend, you know?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, and having the three names just makes you feel a little more distinguished.
Yeah, I feel like we're Swedish royalty, pretty much, you know?
or an assassin.
I didn't want you to bring that up, but yeah,
Like John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Wilkes Booth, yeah.
Well, kind of like that.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They always have three names.
John Thomas Lukin.
Yeah.
Watch out, if you're famous, I'm coming for you.
Oh, man. Like I mentioned, we do have a lot to cover. We had a pretty big matchup in UFC. A legend announces his retirement after he fought in Khabib this weekend. So we'll get into that with our foreign correspondent. We probably won't talk any soccer because Derek's out for the second week. And, you know, I just don't want to swim in the deep end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we don't have Derek. We don't have the real Italian. Let's just stay away from that side of the pond, you know?
Sounds good. But speaking of no Derek, we will talk about his Dodgers because I do like to talk with Dodgers whenever Derek's gone. And whenever he's here and the Dodgers are doing well, give him very little shine. A running joke on this show for years, and it took Derek a few times to catch on to what I was doing. I would give him the floor to talk about the Dodgers. He would open up and talk for a good 10 seconds before I immediately cut him off and just change the topic. And I'm going to say, I actually miss that right now.
Yeah, it's ironic the fact that we're about to talk about the Dodgers in a positive light,
mm-hmm.
and you're wearing complete head-to-toe Giants gear.
That was done on purpose.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little slight to Derek, even though he's not here.
Yeah. No, it's done on purpose. I'm not exactly thrilled about the Dodgers taking a 3-2 lead, but we'll get into all that. We don't have to jump into it just now. I got a player haters ball for y'all. We have a look into the futures. We're going to discuss some of this past weekend's triumphs. And,
spoiler alert, it's rough again, you guys.
Yeah. Not as rough as it was for a friend of the show, and we'll get into that as well. Make sure that you continue to support the show. Like I said, we really, really appreciate it. So go subscribe, rate, review, all that stuff, the podcast. Feel free to just search Talking About Practice wherever you get your podcast. We're on every platform. If there's a platform, you can find us there. You can also find us on Instagram, TBP, not a game. We are actually going live right now, baby. If you want to check out a behind-the-scenes look at what it is we do here at the studios as we waste an hour of your evening, you can kind of, I think the live experience is kind of cool. Gives you a bit of a behind-the-scenes.
Yeah.
Shows you a bit about how the sausage is made, so to speak.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, it's like the casein involved.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Especially when the board's not working. You know, it's like you get a real, real look at how we tackle problems and get through adversity here at KZFR.
Right. And for the most part, we usually don't face these issues, but it's not the first time facing them. And these things happen in live radio.
Next man up.
Yeah, all you can do sometimes is smile, laugh it off, and keep it moving. But without complaining too much, again, we're down a couple people, all right? And John can't hear me through his headphones, which I don't know about you out there. I don't know what you know about doing radio. Pretty difficult doing a show when you can't hear any of the sound drops, okay?
Yeah. Luckily for you, I am an assassin with my timing. So, you know, I'm not worried about it, even though I still have a headphone in, hoping that this sound comes back.
I'm not worried. I'm not worried about it.
You shouldn't worry about it. I'm not worried at all.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's talk about one thing that seems to ring true year after year on this show. Now, if you are a fan of Talking About Practice and you've listened to the show over the years, for the past 4 years, this will be nothing new to you. But, John, we have one overriding theme of the show. One rule, really.
Yeah.
We have a couple rules, couple ground rules about the show. But there is one rule that overrides all the other rules, and it is simply this. Listen up, kids. Don't trust the Falcons. I've said it once, I'll say it again. You cannot, under any circumstance, trust the Falcons.
As Jerome has always said, don't trust Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, like they have so many issues that Jerome loves to bring up.
Nice. Yeah, I can't go all season long and say don't trust the Falcons and pick them in the Super Bowl.
that would be great, I feel.
I can't pick Atlanta just because all year long, since I think week 3 or 4, I've been saying don't trust Atlanta on this show. So it's not just that. They have had a history of being untrustworthy. And so until they won the Super Bowl, I'm going to continue to say don't trust the Falcons. And if you're betting out there, take New England. That's right. Pretty simple rule. And this weekend was a perfect example of why you can never trust them. Now, obviously, there's a lot more sexy matchups we could talk about. But here at here at Talking About Practice, we enjoy the hate more than we enjoy the love.
Oh, yeah. And shout out to Derek.
Yes. The show is kind of built around Derek's sensibilities. When we first started all those years ago in his freezing-ass cold garage. But one thing that we have always liked to do is sip on the haterade. And so any chance we get to bring up how terrible the Falcons are and how they will just continue to let you down year after year, game after game, we're going to take full advantage. Yesterday was a perfect example. With less than a minute left, Todd Gurley breaks through the hole and is running into the end zone and meant to take a knee at the one, and his momentum carried him into the end zone, scoring a touchdown, which is also, let's stay right here for a second. You can't think of many other sports, aside from football, in which there's a case where you have the clear ability to score in a close game with time running out, and scoring isn't the best thing you could do in that moment. And football is the one of the things that brings me joy is clock mismanagement. It's easy to point out. The game is confusing itself, but we all see when someone blows the clock.
Yeah.
And this man, it was just an epic matchup of two failing franchises, two franchises who have let their fan base down year after year. The Lions giving their fans a little less hope than Atlanta has over the years. But I think I'd rather be a Lions fan because, ooh, well, look, at least it's expected to just lose. And you don't really lose a ton of heartbreaking fashion in games that are super important. Now, the Lions did blow coming into this season in the first two or three games of the season. They were six games in a row they had blown a double-digit lead in the Was it the fourth quarter? Yeah, in the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter or second half.
Yeah, which is rough. But
especially from a Matt Patricia ran team that is a defensive Belichick mind, you know?
However, in this past decade, the Falcons have let you down in epic proportions. At home, in the championship game, against my San Francisco 49ers, led by Colin Kaepernick, the Falcons led by 17 midway through the third quarter.
Yikes.
They lost the game, which was only to be surpassed several years later in even more epically atrocious fashion as the Atlanta Falcons blew a 28-3 lead that they had in the first half against the New England Patriots. This franchise will continue to let you down year in, year out. And it's really confusing to me because they have talent.
Yeah.
And it can't just be the coaching because they just got rid of their coach 2 weeks ago. And they still managed to fudge this all the way up.
Ooh, nice.
Man.
It's rough. I actually saw a statistic today from ESPN that the last 3 weeks, the Falcons, in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter in these last 3 weeks, have had a 96.6 or better winning probability and have lost all three of those games.
Okay, so let's stay there for a second. First, just to correct that stat, I believe that's their last three losses because they did win last week.
Touche, yes.
Yes, but the last three losses, they had a 96% chance of winning the game.
Last week was at 98.
Mm.
And, yeah, I mean, you got to feel for him, especially because Julio Jones is on my fantasy team. And Todd Gurley as well. You know, I really feel for Todd Gurley. You know, he had the idea to fall short. And again, I mean, we can talk about it till the cows come home. They could fall short and have 10 seconds left in the game, bring their kicker in, that kicker could shank it, and then we're talking a different never trust the Falcons again.
Yeah.
But it's just, man, it's rough. He was about to be tackled on the 5-yard line. You see him push through a little bit, and to the defense, to the Lions' defensive credit, the guy just let him go.
Yeah.
And let it, it's almost like playing tug of war, and you know the guy's going to fall, and so you just let go of the rope, so they just completely fall.
Right.
And I feel like that's what Todd Gurley went through. He tried his best not to get into that end zone, but it was nothing better than to see the replay of the Detroit Lions clapping and looking at the refs, being like, no, he made it in. He made it in. Call that a touchdown.
They were putting their arms up. They're signaling touchdown as he fell in, which is, all of that is confusing and strange. And then the Lions come down, 3 seconds left on the clock, have one play to win it, and Matt Stafford, bless his heart, finally gets that win. Because Lord knows he has been on the other end of that time in and time out in his career. You mentioned the winning percentage, which brought something to my attention and reminded me of something I wanted to talk about.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Winning percentages. What do they mean, and why do I need to see him all the time? Because you know what the winning percentage was at triple zeros? 0% for the Falcons. Okay, I'm so tired of seeing these winning percentages. This is sports. It doesn't matter how many times something has happened and gone this way. It is sports, and the reason we watch them is for the unpredictability.
Right.
This is why the only thing that really draws a large live audience anymore is sports. Because you need to know in real time what happens. This is why, whether or not you love baseball, baseball postseason, game four is a perfect example of that. You got to watch till the very end because you never know what could happen. And in sports, in football, if it is a one possession game, I don't care. Crazy things can happen. And I just get so tired of seeing, oh, the Lions have a 4% winning percentage right now in this situation. It's like, yeah. And guess who won? The Lions. Yeah. And so this winning percentage, if we're going to keep going to this, I mean, the Falcons themselves have got to be skewing this entire number this year.
They definitely are. But, I mean, again, I mean, especially more so with any other sport, I feel like football, you with those winning percentages come up, you there's so many, you know, we look back a few weeks ago and look at the Houston Texans, you know, going for two to go up by nine. When they were up seven, when they could have just kicked the field goal to go up by eight,
right,
and end up losing that game. But it's such a weird dichotomy because you flip the script and you think, yeah, these 11 players on my defense can get a stop. You know, out of 90 or let's say 75 yards, you know, if you get a touchback, you have to get a stop there, right? And You play this game, and the Falcons have been injury riddled a little bit this year, but you're playing in the NFL. You're the top 200 athlete in the NFL. You should be able to come up for a stop.
Yes,
and the fact that they couldn't, hats off to the Lions for being able to you know trudge down the field with no timeouts, no time on the clock, and be able to score. So I put off my hat more towards the Lions than laughing at the Falcons, even though I am still laughing at the Falcons.
I'm always going to choose laughing over the Falcons over any result.
Yeah, I just feel bad though. You know,
it's no, like I after I don't I don't
it's after so long, it's just man, like
get a new team, you know. Yeah. Stop rooting for them if they keep breaking your heart. I have no empathy. Either ride it out, and it's going to feel so good if you guys ever clear that summit. It's just never going to happen because it's the Falcons. And again, we have one rule on the show. Don't trust Atlanta. Now, I would imagine that we are the only show outside of Atlanta to break down the Falcons game for 15 minutes to start their show.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't trust them, so we're just reiterating.
Them. Yes.
Don't trust them.
You know who I do trust? Russell Wilson, man. Even though they got the loss, and I wrote in the rundown because I seriously am asking this. Are the Seattle Seahawks capable of playing just a boring game?
I don't think they want to.
It's just like every week, it's like a heartthrob game.
Yeah. Either they start out and they're the best team you've ever seen going, you know, 4 for 4 on drives. Mm-hmm. And then the second half starts and they just go null and void and they have to come up with a last minute drive in overtime to try to win it. But you saw it with the Vikings. You've seen it last week with the Cardinals. It's... I mean, I got Russell Wilson on my fantasy team, so I'm not knocking them coming back in the fashion that they do. But yeah, man, it's scary to see another. I mean, this entire NFL season, teams have been riddled with injury, and I feel like it's, you know, kosher for 2020 for everyone just to kind of fill in and adapt to this entire environment that we're kind of living in. But the Seahawks, man, do it with such grace. I've never.
And again, they did lose last night.
They did, and it broke my heart.
Okay, well, let's get to that here shortly. But man, this NFC West.
So good.
What a great division. I mean, when the Niners, the defending NFC champ, are in last place at 3-3.
4-3.
4-3. Thank you. Sorry. You know, you got a hell of a division. The Niners have double the amount of wins of any team in the NFC East. And again, they find themselves in fourth place.
They actually have the same amount of wins as every team in the NFC East.
Oh, what a god-awful division. And so we'll see what happens. But the NFC West is just, man, it is such a tough division.
It's one of those almost kind of heartbreaker because the top two guy or the top two teams in that division are going to the playoffs, but that third team in that playoff in that division or the fourth team even might be left out, and those could be potentially two teams that are better than half of the NFL.
Yeah,
and they don't get to see a next day. So I mean, we saw it with the AFC West a few years ago with the Broncos, Chiefs, and Raiders.
Yeah.
It's a struggle when you see divisions like the NFC East being so god awful. And they're going to have a home field advantage spot for winning the division at, what, 5-11?
Right.
Like, it's pitiful, really, to think about. But that, I mean, I don't think I would ever have said this year, but this division itself is the best division in football, top to bottom.
Yeah.
Have some of the biggest playmakers on both sides of the ball in every team. And, I mean, we saw it last night with Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, we saw so quarterbacking at its finest last night. We really got – I really enjoyed that matchup. Wilson versus Kyler Murray. You're seeing, you know, the veteran against the up-and-comer. And, you know, we're going to get to see this matchup for some years to come and see that rivalry grow. And that's just going to be a lot of fun. I don't really have a whole lot to say about it because it was just – it was so much fun. And that's like – sometimes instead of criticizing, which is really difficult for the show not to do, you just got to sit back and appreciate what you get. And Sunday yeah. Night Football, thankfully, well, I don't want to say thankfully. Thankfully for the viewers, not for the Raiders offensive line getting COVID. But God, I am so glad that game got moved out of the Sunday night time slot yeah. and we flexed it out for what we got last night in the Seahawks. Versus the Arizona Cardinals. And everyone today is talking about that DK Metcalf chase down. Holy bleep.
Wakanda forever. DJ Metcalf is born in Wakanda.
I saw
and
that
you cannot
tweet.
Tell me otherwise.
Yeah, that
this guy
was insane.
Is a specimen. This guy was in the end zone during that interception. And Buda Baker caught that interception on the 5-yard line in a sprint.
Yeah.
Already at top speed.
Yeah.
And he chased him down 10 yards, caught him on the 10-yard line. That was amazing to see. And also great because they ended up getting no points out of it. They went for it on fourth, you know, knowing it was going to be a shootout. And
I liked the call there, honestly.
Right. You have to. You know the Russell Wilson offense, they have been moving the ball on every team this year. So you know you gotta plan for the shootout.
Right.
But to be able to track him down in that fashion, I mean – Russell Wilson, even in the loss, should be buying him a steak dinner.
If you haven't seen the play, I highly recommend you YouTube it. It'll be all over the place. It was pretty much my entire Instagram timeline last night.
Yeah.
Was memes about it. One of my favorite ones, and maybe you have one that you enjoy that you could share, but one of my favorite ones was it was a picture, it was a TikTok, and there was a caption over Buda Baker, and it said, my drunk, or my buzz catching up with me, and then it was DK Metcalf, and it was texting X on the way.
I can relate.
Oh, man, that was pretty great. There was a lot of great ones.
My favorite one was mentally cashing my bet. Yes. Was Buda Baker running, and DJ Metcalf was the backdoor cover.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Which really happened to me, and it was not great. But I think the story for last night, especially for this AFC West division, we've always talked about the Rams the last few years. We've always talked about the Niners. We've always talked about the Seahawks. The Cardinals are impressing me, man.
Yeah.
Like, they, top to bottom, I mean, defense is stout. Kyler Murray, I honestly did not think was going to be this good this quick.
You're right.
And he is, with that Cliff Kingsbury offensive scheme, he is doing wonders with, making great decisions. You know, has a couple inaccurate throws here and there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he is, I mean, a rookie second-year guy. So you're going to see that more, you know, more towards the front half of his career. But the way that these guys are playing and going out and getting DeAndre Hopkins, I wouldn't be surprised to see these guys finish second or even first in the division.
Yeah, I mean they're going to be a problem, and I just wanted to mention shout out to the Arizona Cardinals for punting on Josh Rosen and drafting Kyler Murray. Look, Josh Rosen, who knows, with some development, some seasoning, may still end up being a serviceable quarterback, but it is so rare that a team has the testicular fortitude to say, you know what, I think we could do better, and draft what they think might be a franchise quarterback in the first round, turn around the very next year, and get another potentially franchise quarterback. So many teams are just, no, we chose him, we're sticking to our guy, even when there's other options on the board. And I like that. You know, what Worst case scenario, you have two great quarterbacks or you have two bums.
Right.
But you're going for it, and I appreciate that. So, yeah, we'll see. But, man, a lot of fun. This division, just a lot of fun to watch. Yeah. We will get back into all the footballs, and we will we'll talk about how the Seahawks kind of ruined your night last night here in a second with Luke into the futures. Before we get to that, just want to remind you, this is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to me. All right? We are here on FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California. People-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Want to give a shout-out to one of our underwriters here, longtime supporter of the show, Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullen's has been serving the Chico community since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico. They could be reached at 342-1055. Thank you to Pullen Cyclery. Thank you to North Rim Adventure Sports, as always, for the continued support. And most importantly, thank you to you, the listener. We could not do this without you. We appreciate y'all rocking with us, especially when we're playing shorthanded like we are. We're hoping to have Derek back here in the very near future so he could give you the news, give you some soccer updates.
And just be negative.
Yeah,
so we
need the contrarian back.
You know?
Yeah, we're getting along way too well. And yeah. Sometimes we just need Derek to come in and just rain on everything we're doing here.
Yeah.
In his own Derek way, you know.
I mean, shout out to Brad and Jordan as well. But,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more go with the flow.
Yeah.
You know,
just roll with the punches. And Derek is here to bring a sledgehammer to the proceedings. And sometimes he gets off the rails, and I actually appreciate that.
I do.
Of all the complaints we've had on the show, 95% of them are based on something Derek says, and I absolutely love that. He's constantly ruffling feathers. So we wish him the best as he is traveling right now. Look forward to getting him back here on the show. Oh, man. I think that does it for all the housekeeping around here. So I think it's about good time here to take a moment, relax, reflect, and talk about your monies.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man? You know my name, now give me my money.
God, I wish we could just send that over to Russell Wilson. Because he deserves me. I deserve from him a paycheck because he blew it. Three interceptions? What are you doing, Russell? It's ridiculous. We actually did have a decent week, though. Went 4-2.
That's solid.
First big time weekly winning. Didn't win as much as we would hoped. Obviously, the Seahawks just crushed my dreams Sunday night. But we had we took Tampa. -4 cover. Everything was such an easy cover this week, and that's why going into the Seahawks Cardinals game, this is too good to be true. You know what I mean? If it you know, walks like a dog, talks like a dog, it's probably a duck. You know what I mean? At least in my betting world. So we had Tampa -4 covered. Chargers -8. Now that was a sketchy one. They ended up covering on the back door, which was nice. I appreciated that. Niners don't usually go for you guys, but you guys showed out, and you guys actually look like a good team with a horrible quarterback, but still covered in fantastic fashion. We had the Chiefs against my Broncos, but, you know, I'm a betting man, and I'm going to take the wins, and that was an easy cover, -7. And then we had the Bills -10. That was such a letdown, really, Bills. I don't know what you were doing against the Jets in the first half. Shout out to our boy Aaron James. Really took a chunk. Lives down in the Bay. I won't give the dollar figure because that's a bad luck vibe. But you know, he bet close to rent, and if you're familiar with the Bay Area, you know what rent costs. He bet minus six on the Bills in the first half. Now, the first drive of that game, we all looked at each other, and we knew it was not going to cover. It was just one of those days. But that's why I've been telling you guys for so long, you reload. You don't take those first games and take them to your demise. You reload, and that's what I did. I reload on a five team, hit all four, and then the Seahawks came. I'm gonna break this down for you a little bit. We were up 10, and I say we as bettors, taking the Seahawks minus 3.5. Up 10. Cardinals into the game, 2 minutes left, no timeouts. They're going to kick a field goal to make it a 7-point game, which is great for me because Russell Wilson's going to get the ball. He's going to get a couple first downs. He's going to take a couple knees. Game over. I cover and make a lot of money.
Yeah.
What happens? We have a special team player. I wish I had Brad here to tell me. Number 95, if you're out there on the Seahawks listening, I don't like you. First of all, you were offsides, which is okay because it was 4th and 13, so that's not going to be a first down. But then you try to leverage your body on top of the offensive lineman's body, which is a 15-yard automatic first down. Subsequently, two plays later, Cardinals score a touchdown, make it a 3-point game. What do the Seahawks do? They come out 3 and out, not even trying. They're playing for overtime, and then overtime starts. And I'm already, the degenerate that I am, I've already written it off.
Yeah.
It's not happening. And then DJ Metcalf gets that screen, runs 60 yards for a touchdown. I run throughout my entire apartment. It's not big, but it's large enough to run through. And I run screaming that I just covered. Come back to find out that there was a atrocious holding call. Again, you look back at the replay. Yeah, you could call it either way. But if you look back at 90% of those wide receiver pick plays or blocking schemes, they do that every single time. It's never called. I think the refs had a hand in my demise because they called it back. They go 3 and out. And then Arizona just comes down and kicks that field goal for the win. And I just was beside myself. Just completely beside myself. But we did go 4-2, making our record a little bit better than it was. 23-34. We're getting back.
Hey, you're getting some traction.
We're getting there. So this next week, I think I'm going to take this momentum and go into next week. And I think I got 5 winners for you guys right here. I'm not going to say the L word, but I think I got some pretty good picks here. First game we have Steelers, big game against and at the Baltimore Ravens. Steelers are plus 3.5. I don't know why the Steelers are plus 3.5. They're a 6-0 squad. They just beat the undefeated Tennessee Titans in epic fashion. I mean, obviously, Tennessee missed a field goal at the end for the overtime. But they have been on both sides of the ball, being a great defense, great offense, moving the ball, stopping the ball. I really like the Steelers, plus 3.5. Give me those points. Got Titans at the Bengals. Bengals are getting these great points just because they're playing Browns and competing and stuff like that, but they're not going to be able to compete with the Tennessee Titans. Minus 5, Tennessee Titans at the Bengals. Next we have, coming off a bye, Colts minus 2.5 at the Lions. I like that a lot. Another team that I usually typically don't bet on, but it's mainly just who they're playing. I have the Raiders plus 3 at the Browns. Odell Beckham just came out and has confirmed that he has an ACL tear. Baker Mayfield, I mean, we all know. He is hot garbage, as Jordan would say. And
he threw for 5 touchdowns this past weekend.
Yeah, he did. I think a couple of them were with his eyes closed. But I don't like the Browns. Browns are going to brown. Raiders are actually 3-0 on the road. So I like the Raiders there. And then someone that is has taking a step back, but last week showed us that they are the truth. Green Bay against the Vikings at home, minus 6. Plug it in.
There we go. Appreciate it, good sir.
Yes.
We'll see how this weekend goes. I hope it treats you a little better than this weekend.
Yeah, as long as it treats me better than it treated Aaron James.
So from Aaron James to Aaron Isumaki, formerly Aaron Isumaki, we are going to talk some UFC. Aaron, are you with us? Give me a second. Aaron, are you there? Cool.
Cool.
This is about how I expected this show to go.
Yeah. The UFC happened, though.
The UFC did happen.
We can talk about it a little bit if you want to try to...
How about you go ahead and do that while I try to get Aaron back on the line?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to try to get Aaron back on the lines because she's obviously our foreign correspondent and knows way more than we do. And they had the fights a little obscure this week off the islands. And it was, I think, 11 a.m. was the UFC fight night, apparently. In quotations, you can't see me because I'm doing live radio. Actually, on IG Live, you can see me doing quotations. But Khabib came out, second round, had a TKO of submission, and honestly was a great showing. I've never been a great big Khabib fan, to be honest, but to see him come out in the fashion he did, just losing his father and one of his marketing and training partners. To be able to win in that fashion with all that kind of heavy heart was amazing to see. Didn't expect him to go out in the way he did and retire, but hopefully Aaron can give us more on that.
Aaron, do we have you now? Good.
Sweet. All right.
Good.
Hey, this is Aaron. It was great.
All right. We're going to have Aaron join us next week because, everything that could go wrong.
Technology.
Everything that could go wrong on this board today is just killing me.
Yeah, you gotta love it sometimes, though,
Man. Khabib retired, apparently,
It blew my mind, though, because you followed the last few weeks leading up to this fight,
yeah.
and we talked about it off air, about how George St. Pierre, how old that guy is, but how he wanted to make a kind of a resurgence and come back, and there was talks of him fighting Khabib. And for Khabib to go out, when I first heard the news, I was, kind of disappointed a little bit because I feel like he's at the peak of the UFC right now, and you want to see those kind of athletes, in the height of their careers, calling out players, calling out different fighters, and getting those big, fight cards. But after reading an article about the last 6 months of what Khabib has been going through training and losing his father, hats off to the guy. Promised his dad that this would be his last fight, and went out with a bang.
For those of you unfamiliar, Khabib's father died this past year from complications with COVID, and that was his trainer. He was in all his corner for pretty much, I think, every match he fought professionally. And it's just, he said he wanted to go 30-0 and then retire, and he wanted to fight George St. Pierre, who he considered the greatest of all time, so he could say that he, in fact, is the greatest of all time.
John Bones Jones.
And we'll get to that next week. We'll get Aaron on so we get her opinion on all that. I don't want to get too in the weeds here on that stuff, but after the fight, obviously Khabib very emotional, falls to his knees. That's sports right there. That's what we love about sports. Those type of moments, those moments that that bring about humanity. And you see these players for moments in time being more than just an athlete, but being humans.
Yeah.
And you see, like I said, the humanity in them. And that's something I think any of us can relate to, losing someone close to us and then having to go perform at the top of your profession.
I'd put it up there with Jordan Finals after he lost his dad. Yeah. Monday Night Football with Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Even Isaiah Thomas after losing his sister the way he did in the playoffs.
That's a great one.
It's one of those kind of, if you're in his corner, it's like, why are you doing this? And then to go out and perform the way he did and submit the guy, hats off to him.
No doubt.
Is definitely, I I'm not the biggest Khabib fan, so I'm not going to put him at the pinnacle and at the top of the UFC, but he is definitely in my top three for sure.
Hell of a fighter. It's impossible to deny. Let's move on here. Let's plunge forward. Like I mentioned, everybody, the thing we love to do around here more than anything is to hate. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you're it's a moment in time. God, For your weekly haterade.
The player haters ball.
Oh, man. Hey.
Why you wanna play hate on me?
That's right, y'all. The Player Haters Ball, sponsored by us here at Talking Bell Practice. And as I mentioned, we enjoy hating on things, making fun of people around here, giving people a hard time. And I don't know that that's exactly what I want to do. I don't know that I want to necessarily make fun of people here. But I do want to talk about something that John and I actually spoke about over the weekend. And what we spoke about over the weekend was the Trump rally, the Trump parade of sorts that we had here in Chico. Now, I personally don't care about your politics. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care who you vote for. I don't think that defines you as a person. And that is one thing that has really bothered me over, and one thing that I think has changed over the last 4 years in particular, but has been moving that way for some time now, is we tend to wrap a lot of our identity now into our politics, which is bizarre to me, to say the least. I never understood it in the past. That never seemed to really matter who you voted for. It certainly didn't spark as much controversy as it does now. I see people canceling people over who they vote for. Families having estrangement within their own family because of who they vote for. And that's odd to me. What's even more odd to me is the fact that many of these people that I saw at this Trump rally didn't seem to necessarily be rich. And I'm not one to judge a book by its cover. I judge people all day. And I usually think the worst in people, if I'm being just honest with
Amen,
the audience.
Brother.
But just based on the trucks and the old cars that were being driven, I'm going to go ahead and guess that the median person in said Trump parade isn't filthy rich. Which reminded me of something Dave Chappelle said, and I'm going to go ahead and play it for you guys here because he says it much more articulate than I do, which is why he is who he is.
I must tell you, I've never had a problem with white people ever in my life. But full disclosure, the poor whites are my least favorites. We've gotten a lot of trouble out of them. And I've never seen so many of them up close. I looked them right in their coal-smeared faces. And to my surprise, you know what I didn't see? I didn't see one deplorable face in that group. I saw some angry faces and some determined faces, but they felt like decent folk. No, they did. In fact, I'm not even lying, and I didn't sound f***ed up, but I felt sorry for them. I know the game now. I know that rich white people call poor white people trash. And the only reason I know that is because I made so much money last year, the rich whites told me they say it at a cocktail party. And I'm not with that. And I stood them in line like all of us Americans are required to do in a democracy. Nobody skips the line to vote. And I listened to them. I listen to them say naive, poor white people things. Man, Donald Trump's gonna go to Washington and he's gonna fight for us. I'm standing there thinking to my mind, you dumb motherfucker. You are poor. He's fighting for me.
Oh, man.
Genius.
He is a genius. I don't think there's much denying that. And that's just more to my point. I encourage you, whether or not you voted already, to do something that I feel many Americans have struggled doing recently, and that's think for yourself. Stop being pressured by what your friends or your family are telling you on social media, what they're telling you over the dinner table. Take a moment to think for yourself. Think about when you do vote, think about the person you are electing. Think about their policies. Think about, are they helping you? Are they helping your loved ones? Are they helping your friends and family? Because I think what's happened, and it's been a strange turn, John. It's as if we have formed almost a tribalism. And I've had a lot of conversations with Trump voters. I don't want to call them supporters because of many of these people are my friends. And I find it very difficult to imagine myself being good friends with a Trump supporter, because I think that goes beyond voting for his policies or voting right. for him because he's not Joe Biden.
Yeah.
A Trump supporter to me is someone who is inherently racist. Whether or not that is the case, I have a hard time separating the two, because much of the rhetoric that Trump spews is racist, even though he did say last week during the debate that he is the least racist person in the room.
Next to maybe Abraham Lincoln.
Maybe Abraham Lincoln. He's done more for black people than anyone in history, aside from maybe Abraham Lincoln. Because obviously there weren't, you know, the black people during the civil rights obviously didn't have much to do with anything, right? But thank God for Donald Trump, right? I'm just saying, people, I don't care about your politics. I don't care who you vote for. I just encourage each and every one of you to think for yourself.
Educate yourself.
Stop just going on with the things you read in a headline and spewing them as facts. Do a little research about the people you're supporting. If you're supporting Trump, I would like to know why. Think for yourself. Why? You don't need to tell me that. You should have a damn good reason as to why you are spending your free Saturday driving around with Trump flags everywhere, which is also hilarious, guys.
Yeah.
Everyone looks ridiculous when you have flags hanging from your car. I don't care what the flag says. It looks stupid, okay? But I just encourage you, instead of just going along and living in an echo chamber, do a little bit of research on the other side. One thing I've challenged myself over the past few years of doing is doing that. I try and follow some people on Twitter that are on, have very different political views than me, because I tend to think of myself as a reasonable person. I often have conversations with people who are conservative in my family, in my friend group, and it never gets to the point where we're yelling or getting angry. It's just trying to find out, well, why do you think this way? What do you agree with? And again, I just encourage everyone out there to begin to try, just challenge yourself to think for yourself, because it's way too easy nowadays to just say, well, I'm riding with Biden, so everything he says is gold. You know?
Spoiler alert, it's not.
It's not. Neither is Trump. And so, you know, let's just stop idolizing these people and just realize that they're simply people, flaws and all. And no matter who we elect, we're all in this poop soup together. So November 3rd is right around the corner. And
God, I can't wait.
Let's try to be civil. And remember, at the end of the day, we are all citizens of this country. And no matter who wins, let's hold these people to the standards that we set, we claim to be about in this country. Regardless if it's red or blue, left or right, Biden or Trump. Let's try and remember that at the end of the day, we are all Americans here, and we all need to do a better job, all right? I will get off my soapbox now, and let's talk some football again.
Yeah.
Actually, let's talk some baseball, and then get to football.
I'm just to piggyback a little bit and end it.
Yeah, please
do. I'm honestly just really excited because of how quickly things change here in America, as far as social media and just how quick things, you know, have pull and then die out in the media. And I am so ready for like November 10th, where everyone is just back to caring about sports.
Yes.
You know, I'm just so excited. Win or lose, Trump or Biden, I am so excited just not to talk about this anymore.
Yeah, and I will say I do appreciate this younger generation and their social consciousness and them wanting to be more involved and spreading information and all those things. I think that's awesome. I think that will ultimately force us into a place where we're going to have to take a deeper look at what we are and who we are as a society. And I am definitely encouraged. I'm not saying don't be supportive of your candidate or don't be supportive of your social causes. What I am simply saying is just do a little more research And try not to live in an echo chamber, because I think that's dangerous for everybody, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on.
Fair enough.
So let's talk baseball?
Baseball, let's do it. Even though I hate the Dodgers, you know?
Well, let's keep the hate train rolling, baby. Oh, man. The Dodgers did win Game 5, but we're not here to talk about that.
Let's talk Game 4.
Let's talk Game 4.
God,
let's pretend
a great
game 5 never happened.
No, yeah.
Game 4 ended in dramatic fashion. Do you want to explain the play? Because there's two errors on one play, which
yeah.
is
so
bottom
rare. Bottom nine, you have, I think it's, I might be butchering this, Magat?
I don't know.
Margot? On second base for
I've
the
Rays.
I've
watched 4 hours of baseball all season.
So you get a bloop single with one out, bloop single into right center. And Cody Bellinger, or no, excuse me, Taylor, mm-hmm. Misses the scoop and crow hop to home plate. So
yeah.
That naturally, I think that there was already going to tie the game. But with that kind of that misread, he throws it kind of off cocked, and the catcher makes a horrible dig, which spits the ball away. They honestly, the Dodgers would have had that guy out, because he halfway home from third base,
he
tripped and fell,
yeah.
and then got up. But just to see him sliding into home plate with a smile on his face, knowing
amazing.
That he didn't win the game, but they just kind of scraped by there. And that's sports at its finest.
Yes.
You're laughing. You know that guy was laughing to himself, knowing that they didn't necessarily take that win, but they'll take it anywhere they can get it.
Right.
And then to see the Dodgers come out in Game 5 and Kershaw pitch as well as he did, as much as I hate to say it.
You got to give him his due. He's pitched well in this World
Series. He has been through the ringer. And especially us on this show, we have put him through the ringer for his playoff appearances in the last 10 years.
We pooped on him for since the inception of the show. I have taken every opportunity I've had
right.
to make fun of Clayton Kershaw in the postseason. And much to Derek's dismay most of the time, he sits here in anguish and can't say much. And finally, Kershaw starts to pitch a gem, and Derek's not here.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's pretty ironic that Derek is missing all these good times.
But again, I think you see with the Rays, even in Game 5, letting that game go, I think the Rays have been in every single game. This World Series.
Yeah.
It's not like...
The series isn't totally over.
Right. It's not...
There's some hope.
You know, with the Lakers and Heat, you saw the Heat win a couple, and it was just by, you know, in overtime, or Jimmy Butler had to get a 40-point triple-double. You know, these kind of things happen, and you could see the writing was on the wall that the Lakers are the better team, and they're going to win this series. I do think that the Dodgers are the better team. However, the Rays have been in every single game, and
yes.
and I think through just their inexperience, I mean, they only have one guy on that entire squad that has ever seen a World Series, and it's showing. You know, you see a lot of the base path errors, pitching blunders. You just see kind of the moments getting kind of the best of them. So
yeah.
I really hope that they can come out in Game 6 and tie this up and. You know, if the Dodgers win, you know, it's been an extended spring training.
It was
doesn't
basically
count.
Summer
it's an asterisk,
camp. It's an asterisk.
And no one's going to believe you. But if the Rays win,
what a
hats
championship.
Off,
yeah.
and you guys are champions.
Congrats on the World Series win if the Rays win. If the Dodgers win, just to clarify, asterisk season doesn't count.
Yeah, 60 games. You had 102 more to play.
Yeah, so hang in there, Giants fans. We're going to be all right, because even if the Dodgers win, doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
We really appreciate y'all rocking with us. This show was,
we got through it, though.
We did.
I couldn't even hear you the whole time in my headphones.
Yeah.
I still have them on.
Well, look the part, be the part, mother bleeper.
Yeah. Hey, you look good, you play good, you get paid good.
That's right.
I don't get paid here.
Yeah, we get paid with, all our listeners' admiration and respect.
Touche. Hats off to you guys.
Again, make sure you subscribe, rate, review the pod. We got a bunch of stuff coming up for you guys on there. And follow us on IG, TBP, not a game. Follow us, we'll follow you back. Other than that, it's been real. We will catch you guys next week. Same bat channel, same bat time. I was too young to actually watch that show, so I don't really know what I'm talking about. But that's going to do it for us. Like I said, it's been really real.